Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Say my name.
Mike Florio.
Get the name right. That's all that matters. Spell my name right or say my name properly.
Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports.
Hearing Florio writing any articles about it.
NFL Insider.
Take a spin around the league. We bring in Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio.
My name is my name.
With Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
From baseball talk to football talk, Mike Florio is at Pro Football Talk on Twitter. You can read his work there at ProFootballTalk.com and see him on NBC Sports. He joins us now on the Bernstein and McKnight Show with the Super Bowl in the books. And people kind of shrugging their shoulders like, okay, well, that kind of happened and the Patriots are partying again, but it wasn't what was expected. It was a strange conclusion to an interesting season.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you'd have told the Rams last week they're going to hold the Patriots 13 points, they're mapping out the parade route, right? And if you'd have told them they're only going to score 3 points, they would have laughed in your face. I mean, no one saw it happening the way it happened. I thought the Patriots would blow them out. And, you know, if we take 13-3 and we extrapolate it, it's basically 43-10. So that's a blowout. So
you said 39-20. Was that something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. 43-10, even better. Well, so, but look, it's amazing. And I think the flaw in what happened with Sean McVay and the Rams, compare this Super Bowl to last year. Last year, Doug Peterson, the Eagles head coach, entered the game with plays he drew up from scratch. Formations, pass routes, combinations that Bill Belichick had never seen. When you're Sean McVay and your primary gift is a knack for calling the right play at the right time, and you use the plays that you've used all year long, Bill Belichick's defense is going to be ready for that. What he wouldn't have been ready for is something he's never seen before. And it appears that Sean McVay didn't do anything to come up with new plays, outside-the-box things. He used the plays he'd been using all year long, and that clearly wasn't good enough because the Patriots put the clamps on an offense based on things that the Rams had done all year long.
Do you need to find out more about Todd Gurley, where he was and where he wasn't during the Super Bowl, or are you ready to let that go?
No, I'm not ready to let it go.
Me neither.
I'm going to sit back and wait and see what transpires over the next 2 to 4 weeks, and I won't be surprised if there's a report somewhere that he had some type of a procedure on his knee. Sean McVay was asked about that yesterday, and he told reporters that there is no plan for a procedure on the knee, but in the same press availability, he acknowledged that Gurley, like all other players, had an exit physical, and that McVay had yet to meet with the trainer to talk about the results of it. So, you know, people get confused. Like, how does a guy not appear on the injury report and possibly still be injured? I think plenty of players keep their injuries to themselves. And especially if you're a star player. I mean, think about how this plays out. A trainer goes up to a guy and says, hey, you know what? Maybe we should check the knee. Now, if you're just a run-of-the-mill slappy who's at the bottom of the roster, what are you going to say? No. You go do it. But if you're a star, you can say, no, my knee's fine. Well, I think we should do it. No, my knee's fine. And how far do you push it as a team if the star player is insisting that he's fine and he's maybe trying to deal with it on his own, icing it quietly and privately, going to his own side physical therapist who is working on the knee, and as a result, he's not officially injured because the team never knows he's injured because he never said he was injured. Now, with Gurley, we know there was a problem with the knee, that it swelled up spontaneously, the same knee that has a new ACL in it from 4 or 5 years ago. And yeah, he got to the point where he was healthy. Well, all that means is potentially from that point forward, he kept it to himself. And there's got to be an explanation. It's either the knee or it's all of a sudden Todd Gurley has fallen off the cliff like Eddie George did. But Eddie George had it happen much later in his career. Gurley should be in his prime. He shouldn't all of a sudden lose his fastball and be splitting time with a guy who was unemployed in the middle of December. It just doesn't make sense. And when something like this doesn't make sense, it makes sense to pay attention to what may transpire over the next few weeks.
Greg Schiano falls upward once again into the defensive coordinator position abdicated by Brian Flores as he takes the Miami Dolphins job. Is this a good fit?
Well, you know, there's always been that friendship between Bill Belichick and Greg Schiano, and there was the pipeline from Rutgers to New England. There's a level of trust there. I think Belichick's son either went to Rutgers or worked on that staff at some point. And, you know, it's a relationship-driven business. But isn't it odd that last year when Matt Patricia left, Brian Flores, who had been there 14 years at the time, didn't get the defensive coordinator title. And now Schiano, who's never worked for the Patriots, walks through the door as the defensive coordinator. It's just weird that Bill Belichick would do that. And I don't know whether or not in some roundabout way Bill Belichick was trying not to put too much attention on Flores in order to keep him around. But this is going to be fascinating to see what Flores does in Miami as the head coach. And now Schiano comes in as the coordinator. How will he work with Belichick? And will they be able to continue the kind of performances we've seen on both sides of the ball that's resulted in four Super Bowl appearances in 5 years?
You figure Rob Gronkowski's headed to Hollywood?
Yeah, I think he's done. Look, last year, I believe that if they would have won the Super Bowl, he would have walked away. And when he says in the aftermath of this Super Bowl, I'm going to make a week or two to make that decision, I think a week or two means the decision's made. And the question is, how do we best announce it to maximize the buzz that comes from it? You know, if you announce it in the locker room after the game, it's kind of hard to get the biggest bang for the buck. You wait a week or two, you pick the right day of the week, you pull the sheet off of whatever he plans to do, just Gronk being Gronk and getting paid a lot of money to be Gronk. I think that when he says a week or two, when that timetable is put on it, that means he's out. It's just a question of when is the right time to tell the world I'm out.
And we look at his career, and we see this shining star burning really, really brightly. This is going to be a guy who is an all-time great, but because of the clear understanding that he was the best at what he did for a relatively short period of time compared to some tight ends that played forever and ran up their counting stats.
And I still think he's the best tight end who's ever played, because there's been no other tight end where you obsess on a weekly basis over how in the hell you're going to cover this guy. I remember going into the 2015 season after the Patriots won Super Bowl 49, and they were hosting the Steelers week one. There was so much talk about, what do you do? Do you use a corner? Do you use a linebacker low and a safety high? Do you use double team, triple team? What do you do? Remember that game? At one point, the Steelers went with no one covering Rob Gronkowski. And obviously, that doesn't work. But there's not another tight end, even Tony Gonzalez, where you had that same sense of, oh my God, what the hell do we do to stop this guy? And I think that gets him a gold jacket in 5 years. And I think unofficially we can regard him as the best tight end ever, especially because he wasn't just a pass-catching tight end. He would block when the game plan called for it. He was tenacious. He's played through so many injuries, and he's come back from so many injuries. And, you know, I think it's just gotten to the point where he knows he can make pretty good money doing other things. And when the rumors were percolating last year in Minneapolis before Super Bowl 52, I had heard that family members were really on him because of concerns about head injuries. And, you know, I think it's safe to say when we know that a guy's had two concussions, there's probably more than that that we didn't know about.
Help me understand what's going on in this poker game between Nick Foles and the Eagles, where there's the two-way option. They say that they're going to exercise the option. He says, no, from my side, I'm declining the option. What's actually happening, and how does this end?
Well, here's how they played it out. When they adjusted his contract last year, they put this device in where there's a $20 million option for 2019. Foles has the ability to buy out of the option for $2 million, and that's the ping pong match so far. Eagles pick up the option, Foles buys out of it, and now the Eagles have the ability to apply the transition tag or the franchise tag, and the thinking is they're going to apply the franchise tag and then trade him out from under it. And that's the point where I say Nick Foles needs to stand up and say, look, Eagles, nothing personal here. It's just business. I mean, teams conduct business all the time. They cut players. They squeeze players to take less. They negotiate aggressively to get the best possible deal. Foles needs to say, before you apply the franchise tag to me, let me explain to you how this is going to play out. First of all, I'm going to accept it immediately, putting me on the books for $25 million fully guaranteed in 2019. Good luck with your salary cap when you're paying that much to a backup quarterback. Secondly, I'm not signing a long-term deal with anyone. So if you trade me to another team, they take me as I am. $25 million this year, $30 million next year if they want to tag me again. I'm not doing a long-term deal unless I'm given a trip to the open market. And once the Eagles realize that it may be difficult to trade him. There's a chance they are going to be stuck with Foles for 2019 at $25 million. And from Foles' perspective, hell, I'll take $25 million to not play. Sure. And if you do play, it'll be in December like last year, and you get to come in and pad your resume and hit the market next year. So I hope Foles sheds this whole nice guy facade. Not that it's fake, but at some point you got to set aside who you are, and you got to be a businessman. And being a businessman means exercising maximum leverage. And I think he can really complicate things for the Eagles and possibly bluff them into not using the franchise tag at all and letting him hit the market. Because that's how you get your maximum money. That's how you get your best deal, is on the open market. If Kirk Cousins gets $84 million fully guaranteed from the Vikings last year, what does Foles get if he's on the open market? There's only one way to find out. Force your way to the open market.
Are the Eagles complicating it for themselves some, though, in basically saying, or reportedly saying, that they won't trade him to Washington, that they're taking a suitor out? Or is that tangential to the franchise tag $25 million number?
No, I mean, that. Look, I think one of the reasons why they want to do this is they don't want him to waltz to Washington. Not that he would, but I think they'd have to worry about the Giants as well. And when you tag him and trade him, then you have that opportunity to send him to Jacksonville, where John DeFilippo is now the offensive coordinator. And, of course, Doug Marrone acted like he'd never heard of Nick Foles in the press conference after John DeFilippo took the job. It was great. It's like, Nick? Nick who? Who? Who are you talking about? Oh, no, we're not interested in him. Yeah, sure you're not. And I think that the Eagles, from their perspective, would love to ensure that Nick Foles is with a team they're not going to be competing with. That's one of the reasons why the Patriots traded Jimmy Garoppolo when they had the opportunity, sent him to the 49ers, because if you let him become a free agent, maybe he goes to Miami, maybe he goes to Buffalo, maybe he goes to the Jets, and you got to deal with him twice a year.
Where the hell is Oakland going to play next year, and what are the Raiders doing?
Well, you know, when the story came out over the weekend that the Raiders have a deal to play at Oracle Park where the San Francisco Giants play, a lot of people thought it was resolved. But the 49ers have rights over San Francisco. They are the San Francisco 49ers, yeah, even though they play in Santa Clara. And the 49ers would have to waive those territorial rights. The NFL would have to approve this. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think the NFL is going to say to the 49ers, look, the Raiders need to play in the Bay Area. So you choose Oracle Park or Levi's Stadium. And I think at that point, the 49ers say, well, okay, neither would be preferred, but we'll go Levi's Stadium. And then the NFL goes to the Raiders and says to the Raiders, okay, Raiders, here's your choice, Levi's Stadium or Oakland. And I think at that point, Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, probably says, I'll just stay in Oakland. I don't want to play in Levi's Stadium. I don't want to play in the 49ers Stadium. I don't want to play 10 games there. If we're going to be in the Bay Area, let's just be where we've been. And then that's the resolution. I mean, if I had to bet, I'd say they're going to end up in Oakland. It's just a matter of the dominoes playing out and falling in that direction. And they need to do it, not just to sell season tickets. They're going to be making a schedule. Yeah. And they're probably already starting on the schedule. And which stadium, which state, which city a team is going to play in is a fairly important ingredient in shaping a schedule. So I'd like to think they're going to have this resolved at the latest by the end of the month, at the latest before the scouting combine, but the sooner the better for everyone involved so they can start selling tickets for 2019.
Mike, thanks as always. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.